Hello, and welcome to the Comic Book Rundown. I'm your host, Joe, and with me today, special guest from the BS Network, I have Scotty with me.
Greetings, sir.
How you doing, buddy?
I am doing fantastic. You've brought me on to talk Adventure Zone, which Fun Fiction is actually ramping up to do its final episode on the podcast version of Taz. So I'm happy you brought me on to talk about the graphic novel version.
The final episode. Oh, man.
Mm-hmm. Well, the final episode of what they call the balance arcs. So this would be the last episode.
But wasn't the last one the last one you did was Rockport?
No. The last one we did was... we try to cover two arcs per episode, and the last one we did was based around... I believe it was Crystal King. No. It was 11th Hour, and then...
That's right.
And then my favorite arc, which would, of course, be the Suffering Game.
That's right. Actually, my favorite was... the 11th Hour, but that's just, I'm a sucker for time travel.
Oh, yeah, shit, well, you share that in common with Brenna, my co-host.
Yes, so. I was really happy with that when I listened to the episode. One of the few things me and her have something, common with.
Yeah,
because her love of Twilight and my visceral hatred of Twilight, it's all good.
Oh, when we did that Twilight episode, I had to hold my tongue so much. I was just like, I don't want to hurt your soul, it's all right.
Right. And that's when I was listening to it, I refrained from tweeting her like mean things.
Yeah,
because I'm a nice boy sometimes.
And of course, with me, I was like, I've got to talk about it and find some way to enjoy it. So I found the best way to do it is mute it and play Fallout Boy over the movie. Then you could just enjoy Fallout Boy instead.
Good call. But yes, today. Before we get into the book itself. Scotty, would you please tell my listeners how you got into comics? What was your first introduction into comic books?
With me, it was when, movies started coming out. So, when the Spider-Man movie came out, I was like, I want more Spider-Man. So they would go out and get me Spider-Man comics, and I would read them. But in all honesty, I am a fan of comic books, but almost like... I almost say like I'm an alien to comic books, so I'm studying them, but I'm not fully ingrained in the world. So there are times where I will just be up late at night and read one small thing about Spider-Man and think, what's that about? And then go to the Spider-Man wiki, read through as much possible, then click onto something else. And that's my relationship with comic book is much more like an alien studying a race than anything else.
Okay. Hey, there's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
I like having, I don't want to say newbies, but I like introducing people to comic books to the medium that I enjoy.
Right.
Because it's I had a friend on here before, Dakota. The first comic book he had ever read was the Daredevil arc we covered.
Oh, wow.
And he was taken aback by it. About how bad it was.
I just feel it's it's almost like a very intimidating form to get into. See, the only comic series I ever went all the way through, and it was just a miniseries, so I never got to got that full encompassing of buying a new issue every month. But it was the Superman. It was basically a retelling of Superman's life called American Alien by Max Landis.
Oh, yeah. I read half of that. I never finished it.
Yes, it was. That opening scene, and I know we need to talk about Taz, but
we'll get there.
That opening scene where Ma Kent is running through the field holding soups above his head, her head, trying to get him to fly. It's just so emotional, and I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, no, that one's a good one. I'll finish it on my own time eventually.
Yeah.
Because I got, I think, half of them downstairs, and I got in a multi-pack somewhere down the road.
Mm-hmm.
But you're correct. We need to get on to... The Adventure Zone.
The Adventure Zone.
Here there be gerblins.
Are you a fan of the podcast itself as well?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yes, I was going to ask you about that. I love the show. My girlfriend was the one that, girlfriend and one of my friends from work were the ones that got me onto the show.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those where it was a slow burn for me. I listened to the first arc, the Here There Be Gerblins, and then I'm like, okay, well, I'll get to the show, the rest of it. When I get a chance, I actually was caught up by the very last episode of Balance.
Oh, really? I was similar to that. I was caught up right as the first episode of the finale dropped, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was, oh, man, it's beautiful. How did you get into it, into the show?
With me, what it was, and I feel like everyone has a different introduction to the McElroys, but my friend Bryce, who was actually on a recent episode of Fun Fiction, I don't know when this is coming out, but
yes.
he was on the Breaking Bad episode of Fun Fiction.
Yes.
And he started talking about Monster Factory, which is their YouTube show, and from that I watched Monster Factory, then I moved on to watching Carboys and all the Polygon stuff they do. Then from that, I moved on to listening to Mabim Bam, My Brother and Me. And then one day, I was sitting at home, bored out of my mind. I went, well, let's just see what Taz is like. And I listened to it, and I got hooked. And it was around the same time where I started to travel a lot more. And I'm not one of those people, when I sit around, I don't listen to podcasts. I find something else to do. The McElroys actually have the perfect definition for how I approach podcasting, which is podcasting. It's the mustard that you put on top of the good thing that you're doing. It's the condiment. So
that's yeah.
And so how I got into Taz was I would travel a lot and I would listen to Taz. In fact, the majority of, I believe it was Stolen Century. No, it wasn't Stolen Century. It was Crystal, no, not Crystal. Ah, God, there's so many arcs. Stolen Century, 11th Hour, Stolen Century, and Suffering Game. I literally marathoned them while bar hopping around Austin, Texas. So,
oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, no, I just listen to my podcast at work. I don't listen to a lot here at home.
Yeah.
Usually I've got something else to do. Here recently I've been kind of marathoning the MCU movies to get ready for Endgame.
Oh, right.
So, I know by the time this episode comes out, Endgame, I believe this episode should hit either May 1st or May 3rd. I'm not entirely sure which, but Endgame would have just came out, so...
Hey, everyone, it's gonna be okay. We know a lot of people died. It's okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if I'm ready yet, Scott.
Yeah.
See, I just don't know.
It's gonna be rough. So, anyways, Adventure Zone.
Yes. Okay. all right, so we are reading The Adventure Zone, Here There Be Gerblins. It is published by First Second Books in 2018. It's based on the podcast by Griffin McElroy, Clint McElroy, Travis McElroy, and Justin McElroy. It's adapted by Clint McElroy and Carrie Peach, and the art is done by Carrie Peach as well. I'm assuming she did the lettering and and all that as well.
Like, but I guess before we get into it, the artwork is stunning in this entire novel.
Also, I didn't realize that she did like a small arc in the Lumberjanes comic.
Yes.
I really like, that's a good, another comic series I really like that I'll probably touch on here at some point in the show. So let's go ahead and start out the issue, or the graphic novel here.
Okay.
And we come upon these three adventurers by the names of Magnus Burnside, Taco, and Merle Highchurch. Would you care to tell everybody what each of them are and what their proficiencies are?
I do really enjoy this because in, like, true introductory fashion, they do have, like, a small thing. So we have Magnus Burnside. His race is, he's a human fighter. He's a punch boy with proficiencies in battle, carpentry, and everything else, apparently. And then...
Also, there's one of the reasons why I wanted to get you on here, too, is, God, I love your voices, man.
Thank you. And then we've got Merle Highchurch, a dwarven cleric with proficiencies in healing, supposedly, religious stuff, and very proficient in bleeding.
Yes, he is.
And then, of course, finally, we've got the elven wizard, you know, Taco from TV. They know who it is. He's proficient in spell casting, transmutation, and gastronomy. You may have heard of my show, Sizzle It Up with Taco, you know, from TV.
Oh, God, I love it. So, yeah, the three of them are basically adventuring together.
Yes.
They are going across country for a mission.
Yes, I believe they were hired by one of Merle's cousins to basically go on an adventure with enough... He describes it as the last quest you'll ever need to go on because of how much money they would make from it.
The only bad thing... I forget the names they said in the show themselves.
Yeah.
But I know for the comment, for the book here, we'll go with what they give.
Mm-hmm.
And his... Merle's cousin's name is Bogard.
Yes.
Which, that's just a fun name.
And you know why they had to change it, right?
Oh, I know. It's legal reasons.
Yes, because this entire
book... literally from Dungeons & Dragons.
Yeah, this entire book is essentially an adaptation of the main campaign you get with every beginner's version of D&D.
But, so they're going across country. They're hired by Merle's cousin. And they're just complaining the entire time because... it's what they do.
Yes.
And as they are getting close to where they think they need to be, we get the narrator.
Well, he does blatantly call himself the DM, which is my favorite thing about this, is the fact that they're like...
That's true.
They're like, we cannot ignore the fact that this is a D&D campaign, so let's put a DM in there. And it is, of course, Griffin McElroy.
I love this. His proficiencies are... podcasting, karaoke, weaving a rich tapestry of drama, and goddamn did they.
Yes,
oh, man.
Very much so.
Yes. So he explains to them exactly what's going to go on in this, I guess, campaign.
Mm-hmm.
Magnus can see that things are not going the way that they should be going. And that's when we get Griffin to pop up and explain everything.
Right.
So he tells them that they have to roll a perception check. They end up seeing a couple of dead horses, which were the horses that Bogard's bodyguards had.
Yes, specifically one bodyguard who's my favorite human on the planet.
Oh, man.
Barry Blue Jeans.
So we'll talk about Barry when we get to Barry.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get some Gerblins to attack.
Not the Gerblins!
Oh, shit. What's her name?
Oh, are you talking about Cassidy?
Yeah, there we go.
Come on, little Gerblin, you can't scare me! They go and fight the Gerblins, and each of them kind of get to show off their abilities, because, like, Taco freezes one to death, I believe Magnus actually kills one with an arrow.
He axes him. No, Magnus cleaves him in half.
Yes. In fact, and I believe the quote is, I don't think you could have cut him in half any harder than that.
And then we get the third guy who walks up and is like, oh, sorry, I'm late. Traffic in the brush was a beast.
Yeah.
Like, what? Okay.
Yeah, some of the, like, one-off lines are fantastic in this.
Oh, sweet Jesus, not Kevin.
Yeah.
He just had a kid. And I love how he throws a flaming arrow and lights their wagon on fire.
Mm-hmm.
I am going to apologize because I feel like we're going to rush through this. This is one of those books where
you need to listen to
podcast.
Yeah, like it needs to be experienced. It feels
it really
weird.
Does.
This is a podcast. This is a book novel based off a podcast that now we are returning into a podcast.
Yes, it's the circle of life.
Yes.
Let's see. So Taco's able to put out the flames on the. He does a magic spell called Throwius Blanketus.
Exactly, yes. Which is essentially just tossing a fucking blanket on top of it.
Which is great. Merle throws his axe. He gave his axe a name, did he not?
I'm trying to remember what it is. It's not in the novel yet, but I believe he does eventually give it a name, but I can't remember what it is off the top of my head.
I thought I remember him in one part saying he gave his axe a name. And then they're like, no, you didn't. No, you're not giving your axe a name. And
Clint's
like, yeah, no, I did. I totally did. Which I don't think he did. I love Clint McElroy. He's probably one of the best ones of the show because of how oblivious and he is to most of the stuff. It's wonderful. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry, guys. We're gonna keep talking about the podcast because the podcast is amazing.
Hey guys, just go listen to the podcast.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong, we're going to do the best we can, but the podcast is way better.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's 60 plus hours of things that you need to listen to versus 6 or 7 episodes that we're going to do, but still.
Yeah.
Go listen to the podcast.
And then, of course, this is kind of, it's very good at characterizing each of them so quickly,
yes.
which I feel like is
yes.
would have been a little bit difficult. Like, for instance, they kill them all. Some of them feel bad. Meanwhile, Taco's just like, we should go loot them.
Because why not, right?
Mm-hmm. And then, of course,
also,
we get the ultimate character thing of Magnus, which is Magnus rushes into battle. Meanwhile, Taco and Merle are just kind of good in the back.
It's like, I'm fine. Don't worry about it. And I like how he's just sitting there waiting.
Yeah.
And they all just, Taco and Merle just slowly come up. And he's standing at the cave ready to hop in.
Yeah, exactly.
And Magnus, or Taco says, like, so what happened to Magnus charging ahead? How come you waited for us? And Magnus is like, Magnus believes in sharing the glory with his comrades.
You sure Magnus isn't a teensy bit afraid of dark, spooky cave?
Magnus fears nothing as he's laughing about it.
Yeah.
I love it.
And then immediately, it's just really dark in there, guys.
Merle sets his axe, you know, gives him a little light show, which is nice.
Yeah.
Magnus, of course, rushes in, goes on ahead. He comes back, like Taco and
he leaves
Taco and Merle yeah. just
he leaves
stay.
Taco and Merle alone to go into battle, and you just hear the ruffling of battle behind them of just like crashes and burning. Meanwhile, Taco's just there like, and underneath a giant banner that says "Sizzling Up with Taco," and then Magnus just comes right back out like, where were you guys?
So yeah, so Magnus comes back and they go off in the other direction of this cave that they're in, where they see a gerblin on top of a bridge. And I'm not going to say Taco rushes in, but Taco decides to just talk to the guy.
Taco, as always, is trying to use his charisma to get the gerblin to just let them go.
Yeah, so the gerblin sees him and he's trying to ask, why are they in this cave? Like, this is not a place for tourism. And Taco says, you know, we mean you no harm, but I would not suggest launching an attack on us. We're very dangerous.
And then the goblin, how dangerous are we talking?
Like a
level one?
Or higher.
Yeah.
Of course, but he's trying to backpedal, and Merle just straight up, go ask the gerblin we cut in half how dangerous we are. And Magnus and Taco are like, what the fuck, dude?
Yeah. And then, of course, the gerblin, once he realizes that he has cut, apparently these three men have killed numerous of his comrades, sets off a trap that starts to fill the chasm they're in with water.
Yes, so once the water starts to go, the flow, he attacks them, doesn't go anywhere. Merle's able to shield them. And the Taco freezes the gerblin, which falls off of the bridge into the water.
While screaming, you weren't kidding, you are dangerous.
Yep. The water comes rushing in.
Much like
Taco's
Magnus.
Able to, yes. Taco's able to get out of the way, but Merle and Magnus were not so lucky.
Yes.
And they get swept away by the waters real quick.
And luckily hang on to some rocks to keep the story
barely.
Moving.
Barely. Then I love how Taco's just like, hey guys, I'm perfectly fine, guys. But then he hears from the back room one of the other gerblins asking Jeff, the gerblin that they knocked off and killed, if they got the bad guys.
Yeah.
Well, not the bad guys, the
Trace Horny Boys, as they are.
There
like,
we go. Thank
yes.
you.
Of course,
Taco's response.
Taco has to pull a Han Solo, essentially, by going, everything's good. You guys go ahead. Jeff is good out here.
I love that the gerblins are like, be sure to grab something to show Ganache.
Yeah, I think it might be pronounced Nash.
Nash?
Yeah, so like gnashing your teeth.
Fine, we'll go with that.
Yeah.
I prefer
Ganache.
Oh, well, what was his original name?
Oh, his original name was Clarg the Bugbear.
I prefer Clarg, but
yeah.
Again, copyright reasons.
Yeah, then of course, management's putting heat on us to bring in more battle trophies, and then fucking Taco immediately.
Taco.
I'll chop off their feet and bring it in. Damn, Jeff, I just meant like a watch or something.
You've gotten so dark since you broke up with Marlene. You really need to talk to somebody. Fucking love it, man.
Yeah.
You're right, like, the one-liner is just the back and forth with this thing is great.
Yeah. So, anyways, at that point, all of Trey's horny boys get up on the bridge, and Taco smells the recipe for hunch a la taco from his very first cookbook.
I like how once Merle gets up, he's like, I hope it's not hot cousin.
Yeah, yeah. Like that's probably the funniest joke that I didn't get my first read through, because Taco says, that, my dudes, is true haute cuisine. And then Merle replies, I hope it's not hot cousin. And that is the end of chapter one.
Yes, so let's go into chapter two here.
Mm-hmm.
And Taco pops in, and he is flabbergasted because they forgot the oregano.
Oh, no. I like the way they set it up, though, because he's shocked, and it's showing all these pictures of a beaten, battered Barry blue jeans, and Taco's like, oh, my God, oh, no, they forgot the oregano.
Which is perfect for Taco. Like, he doesn't give a fuck about people.
Yeah.
He cares about his reputation.
Well, specifically, he does not give a fuck about Barry blue jeans.
Well, none of them gave a fuck about Barry blue jeans.
Mm-hmm.
Just go listen to the podcast. You'll understand.
Yeah.
So we have these Gerblins sitting by this fire, roasting the stereotypical meat on a bone. Like, you play a video game and it's a giant meat on bone slab. Yeah.
Specifically, a haunch is how they refer to it throughout the whole thing, is my haunch.
I guess I just don't know what, is that a haunch? I don't really know what a haunch is. Is that?
A haunch, I believe, would like be the meat of the thigh. So, like, this thigh meat, I believe, would be what a haunch is.
Okay. Okay, so where did they get this haunch? Because that's a pretty big meat.
That's a pristine haunch you've got there. Probably from, like, a horse. Who knows?
That's still pretty big. I like how Taco sees what's going on, and he goes back to Merle and Magnus, who are playing cards on the bridge. They just straight up don't care.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
At all. And so he's trying to describe what's going on in the room, and he says, there's also some dude, not a dwarf dude, but a dude. I'm trying to think of what he looks like. And
which
you have
leads to the greatest exchange of Griffin popping out like, he looks like John Goodman. No, John Stamos. Wait, no, the exact median between John Goodman and John Stamos, which he then just believes is Tom Arnold for some reason.
I mean, it makes sense, I guess.
Yeah.
Now, are we talking, you know, 80s and 90s John Goodman and John Stamos, I'm assuming?
Probably. I don't know with these special boys. It's so good.
Yeah. Yeah, because I don't think nowadays John Goodman looks that good.
Yeah.
But he also lost a lot of weight, so.
Cut to Taco then saying, look, I'm not going to describe anything else in the room. I know you guys are going to go in there anyway, which is brilliant writing on their part.
Yes, and so they do. They decide to go into the room. And we get the classic, you know, head popping over the edge. Merle pops his head out, then Taco just above his, and Magnus just above his. Then they huddle together to figure out a plan.
Right.
They realize that they're pretty sure that's Barry, so they decide they need to rescue Barry.
Mm-hmm.
And their way of doing it is basically just rushing in. All three of them rushing in.
It's to just cause chaos. Come in, fuck shit up, leave with Barry on their backs.
They did what they could. And
yeah.
They killed one.
Yeah.
Which was nice.
And now, they did disturb the haunch, which was also described as, that was my grandfather's haunch.
Right?
And I don't know if that means this was a haunch meant for my grandfather, or this was made of my grandfather.
Well, I'm hoping it is, I don't want to say I'm hoping it was made from his grandfather, because if it was meant for his grandfather, or his grandfather has kept it this long, that's got to be some stanky meat.
It's a stank haunch is what it is.
Yeah.
Which I did Google, and yes, it is, in fact, the thigh and butt area of an animal is your haunch.
Okay. Well, I mean, I guess it's pretty big.
Right.
I guess it works. So they get into a quick little tiny battle, but before they can really do any damage, the pseudo-leader of this gang of Gerblins, what was his name, Yavi,
yes,
I believe, he is holding Barry Blue Jeans by basically the scruff of his shirt over a cliff with a knife at his throat. And he's got a proposition for the Trey Horner boys. He wants them to kill his boss, Nash.
Mm-hmm.
And we get a quick little description of Yavi here. And he's a Gerblin. His class is pain in the ass. He's proficient at deception, betrayal, and career advancement. Which, hey, good on him. He's mm-hmm. just trying to, you know, come up in the world.
Yeah, I also love how quickly they just throw away any conceptions that this is traditional D&D. Because instead of, like, this is a rogue gang of Gerblins, he's just like, he just got transferred over from our old office on Slow Road. Let's just say some of us are not big fans. Fuck that guy!
Yeah, I like how there is a hierarchy of roles here.
And yeah.
I also find it interesting that once we get to Nash, he is, you know, we said earlier, he's a bugbearer. I didn't think bugbears could, I didn't think Gerblins would take orders from bugbears, but this is the world we live in, I guess.
Apparently it's also D&D official because it is in the D&D.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
It is part of the first campaign. I also like how, you know, they could not remember Yavi's name at all. Like, they're saying Yaakov and
yeah,
Yanni. And
this continues into when they meet Nash, because they're just like,
yes.
Jarl, Yardy.
Which will, I mean, they basically go right to there to go meet him. And he is, like we said, he's a giant bugbear, which is basically a giant, I mean, what would you call? So Gerblins are like goblins. Bugbears, I would say, like a big Sasquatch.
Yeah, he's kind of like a Sasquatch thing.
They come into Nash's quarters, and Nash sicks his wolf on them.
And what is probably
number 16.
Yeah, and what is probably my favorite scene from the graphic novel and from the podcast of just after, like, a Griffin suggests, like, you know, there's a fire pit right there. And so Magnus picks up this fucking wolf, tosses it in the fire pit, and then Nash is just like, you threw my dog into fire.
Oh, but we just want to talk. You should have thought about that before you threw my dog in the fire. Fucking love it. But yeah, we're introduced to Nash. He is a bugbear. His class is gang leader. He's proficient in abductions, wolf training, and tea brewing. And he's a big boy.
Yes, he is very large.
Magnus is like, Taco says that he certainly is muscly.
Yes.
And Magnus, of course, doesn't want to get one up, so he's like, do you think he's more muscly than me? And Taco, of course, says, you know, he's got you beat on pure mass, but you've got way more impressive definition.
Yeah. And so, of course, they get into another little tussle as mm-hmm. Nash sends more wolves to assault them, and...
Oh, no, it's the same wolf. It's still number 16.
Oh, is it? And then...
Yeah, he crawls out of the fire
and then
and attacks
somehow
again.
Merle just gets struck with an arrow, and he's like, of course, no trouble hitting the dwarf, the smallest target in the place.
Oh, man, I love that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I mean, Magnus is getting attacked by the wolf, and Taco is just like, I'm just gonna come over here and get out of the way. And,
yeah.
But then he puts a charm
yes,
person
in,
spell?
Yes, in D&D it would be considered a charm spell. I don't know if they weren't allowed to use D&D name. Well, they do. They say magic missile later. But instead of putting out the words, instead of putting the words charm person on screen, instead it just has a giant panel where it says, chill the fuck out!
Well, then he explains, like, he says, I rolled a 17. Is that enough to charm? And you've got Griffin popping up, giving a thumbs up. So
yes.
Then we have a new thing for Nash.
Yes, Nash is still a bugbear. He is converted.
Yeah, he's still a bugbear, but now his class is Sweetheart, and he's proficient in finger sandwiches, foot rubs, and shoulder to cry on.
He's such a sweet boy. I love Nash.
He is. It's so good. He calls off 16. From attacking Magnus, and they all just decide to sit down and have some tea.
Well, that's what happens afterwards, because at first they explain to him that Yavi, Yaakov, whatever his name is, Yavi was
Yahoo.
Planning to kill him, and instead of being angry, he's just like, well, let me call him in here and we'll talk it out.
And like, we'll figure this out.
Yeah, and so Yavi immediately makes the mistake of, like, going to assault him with a bow and arrow. Magnus stops it, and then...
Because proficiency in protection.
Yes, and then Nash just goes insane and beats the shit out of all the Gerblins, destroying them instantly.
Which is great. And that's where we end Chapter 2.
Yes.
Thank you for listening to the Comic Book Rundown. If you enjoyed listening to Scotty, you can check out his many, many podcasts on his website, aloadofpurebs.com. And as always, you can find us on Twitter at Comic Rundown, on Instagram at Comic Book Rundown, or you can send your emails to comicbookrundown@gmail.com. We'll be back very soon with more to this Adventure Zone story.